Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today's scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, which say, "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." What the Apostle John is sharing with us in 1 John is the fact that he was an eyewitness to the life of Jesus. He was called early in Jesus' ministry. He ministered with Jesus and saw all the miracles, saw all the teaching, was involved with Jesus' life for about 3.5 years, and then he was at the cross when Jesus died on the cross. And what he's saying is he is a witness, an eyewitness of Christ's life. His teaching in the whole book of John, the Apostle, in the whole book of the Gospel of John, he's declaring that Jesus Christ is the Savior who died for our sins and who will give those of us who are believers eternal life. And that's what these verses are trying to tell us. The things that he saw and he heard, he's declaring to you, meaning us, that these things are true. And so we have an eyewitness of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And those of us who believe and put our faith in him will have eternal life and be in his presence forever and ever.
And adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to sing the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Sister, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him.
Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sister, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Let us love our Lord supremely. Let us love each other too.
Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Good day. This is Dennis Campbell at Mission Go, filling in for Dr. Brian Albrecht for this edition of the Global Times. This week, we will be hearing about an interesting ministry in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Good morning, Tammy. You were telling us about the selection of the girls for your treehouse program.
Well, we speak with the church. The leaders in the church let us know about the community needs for some of their children. Pastor will give us advice on children that he has seen without meals for days in a row. They'll come to him on occasion and he will himself make sure that they are fed. There are several families in the community that have their children eating cassava, which has a poison aspect to it if it's eaten alone or in great quantities. And some children will get into the cassava, which is used for drinks and many other things, and they will eat that because they're very hungry. So those children, we're made aware of those children. We also have children that wander in the village and have no caregiver. The entire village tries to work together to protect that child. We are able to bring that child into a family that we can support.
Do we have a large number of children in these villages, specifically little girls, that seem to be abandoned or wander in the community without any parental support?
They will leave them in the village every day while they work the farm. And that child needs further assistance, and that child will be referred to us.
I understand that Ebola, the killing disease, left many children as orphans.
Have special needs. They may stay with someone in the village who has some means of providing for them, but that child is not likely to see an education, even if they are provided food.
So I understand you try to create a mentoring type of establishment between the children?
Well, we try to match a younger child with an older child, give them a sort of a big brother, big sister program, where we're allowing oversight, responsibility, personal care of the younger child by the older child. We're teaching the older child responsibility, you know, dressing, feeding, helping with school, walking back and forth from different areas like the library. The child will need assistance getting to the library. That's one aspect.
The library that you've created is somewhat unique, isn't it?
Correct. There are no books. There are no places to go to receive the written word. The families don't have places inside, like dressers and tables and things like that. They have mud floors. Most of the places where the children sleep are leaky during the rainy season. The family will maybe move into one room because there's so much leaking through the roof.
What about spiritual training for the children?
All the children are required to attend services during the week, which are Bible stories that are taught to the children. And then on Sundays, there is an actual service, which is a normal church service, and the children are required to attend that also. A great many of the girls are professing Christians and have been baptized.
Tammy, that's wonderful. We're happy to hear the continuing work at the Treehouse program in Sierra Leone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. It's a real privilege to share God's word, God's message through missionaries and through song each week. We love you. We're so thankful for you. This is a listener-supported program, and we certainly cannot be on the air without the support of our listeners. And even though this is a very difficult time to maintain ministries, we pray that God will continue to support us with financial giving and with legacy gifts so that we can continue into the future. God's been faithful for over 95 years, and we trust He'll continue to keep this broadcast on the air. This month, we're offering a pamphlet entitled Living Through the Greatest Pandemic of All Times. And we want you to order this pamphlet because it not only talks about COVID-19, but it talks about even a greater pandemic than COVID-19. And you can get this by using the title, Pandemic. You can order your copy of Pandemic. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 1423.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father. sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco, is entitled, What to Do When All Seems Lost. Printed copies are available upon request.
Our talk today is from Psalm 12, and it's entitled, What to Do When All Seems Lost. Psalm 12 was written by David when he was experiencing some very dark days, and he did experience dark days. His sin with Bathsheba caused a cloud of depression to surround him for perhaps a year or more before he turned in repentance to God. Then, before he became king, he spent several years trying to evade Saul's efforts to kill him. Then, when his favorite son Absalom deceived Israel into rebellion, King David was forced to flee for his life. The dramatic account of this event is worthy of note here. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 15, it reads, But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants, Arise, and let us flee, make speed to depart, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. And the king went forth, and all the people after him. Chapter 16, And there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. He came forth and cursed as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king, saying, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now, not only was David in danger of his life from his own son, but he was cursed and falsely accused by Shimei, who had held a grudge against him since becoming king. With these events in mind, let us read what David wrote, Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Now, whether this psalm was written during one of the dark times we mentioned previously, we don't know. It is clear that it was a time of deep moral decline in the nation of Israel. Arrogance and pride was the rule, along with vain and deceiving speech. That meant the word of many could not be trusted. The small group of true believers was being threatened by the scorn and verbal abuse of proud, selfish, and wicked men. Perhaps we can understand David's lament best, as our day is also filled with scorn and verbal abuse directed at Christian believers. The psalm deals with words and with speech. First of all, the proud, vain, wicked men who felt that they can get whatever they want by deceitful and flattering speech. This is contrasted later by God's words, which are pure, without corruptness. They are truth and absolutely dependable. Now, let us note first in looking at the psalm that David cared about godliness, for he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." David cared about godliness in men. I wonder if we have ever spoken to anyone about the need for godly men in our families or our neighborhoods or our businesses and nation. Godliness or godlikeness seem to be strange words to our society, yet they are the goal of the believer's life. In 2 Peter 3:11, the Apostle Peter says that one day God is going to destroy the whole world. And then in verse 11 it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy communication and godliness?" Peter is here saying, since the world and its works are temporary and will one day pass away, build into your life the things which are eternal, like godliness and a holy lifestyle. Paul urges believers to the same goal, saying in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Paul is saying godliness will help you have the best life here, as well as preparing you for eternity. How can we grow in godliness? Well, Peter says, by the word of God. In 2 Peter 1:2, he writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." This is then saying that we grow in godliness by growing in our knowledge of Jesus. And we can grow in our knowledge of Jesus through careful and diligent reading of the scriptures. This is why he calls God's word exceeding great and precious. It is only through God's word that we grow in our knowledge of Christ and consequently in godliness. Our world desperately needs godly men. The church needs them. And the challenge to us as men and as women is, will we put aside the things, other things, and become regular and avid readers of God's word? If we will, we will grow in the knowledge of Christ, and we will become partakers of the divine nature, and thus learn to escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust. Godliness will then grow and be a part of our lives, and we'll become more like Christ. We will then have a desire to turn away from sin and evil. God's Spirit will work mightily in us, transforming us into the image of Christ. King David cared about godly men. Let us also care about this. Then King David was concerned about the alarming decline of godliness in his day. He says, "The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men." The moral decay of his time alarmed David, and it was real, for not only was there a time when godly men were diminishing, but the faithful, that is, the whole believing community, was failing and in danger of losing strength and courage to hold true to God. This was an alarming thing indeed. Do I need to draw your attention to our day and to the alarming decline in morality that is evident all around? Most of us who are older have witnessed that in one lifetime, a distressing and alarming decline in public morality has taken place. Our schools have been stripped of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and prayer, and only to be replaced, it seems, by drugs and violence. The respect and commitment of marriage has largely been set aside, and the majority of couples today, we are told, are simply living together, contrary to God's word. The Lord's Day has become a holiday, more than a holy day. The taking of our Lord's name in vain and vulgar language is becoming the norm on television. Church attendance has declined dramatically. Does this alarm us? David was aware of what was happening and was greatly alarmed and took steps to bring change. First, he called on God in prayer. "Help, Lord," was his cry. These words show, first of all, his urgency. The situation was desperate and made on behalf of the whole believing community. "Help, Lord." He didn't say, "Help me, Lord." Just, "Help, Lord. We all need help." It was a cry from the depths of his soul. David recognized that God alone was big enough to stem the tide. And he believed that although everything seemed lost and hopeless about him, with God there was hope. With God there was power to withstand evil and to bring change. He believed in an almighty God who could intervene in human affairs. Here is the King of Israel praying, calling on God to intervene and change the moral collapse of his day. What a powerful picture this presents. I hope that we will be more than just witnesses of the moral decline all around us, and pray that God might raise up a mighty army of men and women who believe in an almighty God and will call upon him for a mighty intervention that will halt the spiritual decline that we have around us and bring revival, renewal, and spiritual awakening in our day. Is it possible? Well, David prayed sincerely and in confidence, and God answered him. For verse 5 says, "Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." God had seen the sufferings of his people. He had heard the vain, flattering, deceitful words of the wicked, and he now speaks his words and begins to move in protecting and sheltering them. Not all prayers have such a rapid fulfillment, but God hears and is abundantly able to deal with the problems of our world. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Sometimes a godly man and God make a majority. James goes on to tell of Elijah, the prophet, saying in verse 17, "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth his fruit." One man and God brought a spiritual revival to Israel in a time of deep spiritual decline. He can certainly do this again. The scriptures urge us over and over to pray. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, "I exhort first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." In verse 8 he says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." In 1 Thessalonians 5 Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." Jesus taught his disciples to pray and say the words, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." These great words of what has been called the Lord's Prayer follows, which has blessed and encouraged people around the world. A great missionary statesman once said words to the effect that prayer does not help us in the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. The great scientist Sir Isaac Newton once said, "I can take my telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space, but I can lay it aside and get down on my knees, and in earnest prayer, I can see more of heaven and draw closer to God than I can when assisted by all the telescopes and material agencies of the Earth. It was J. Edgar Hoover who said that the spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb, for it allows man to tap the infinite resources of God. Friends, David prayed, "Help, Lord," and saw God arise and move in blessing. Will you pray, "Help, Lord," and invite the Savior into your life, and then pray for your family, neighbors, church, and world? I trust you will.
I trust the message you just heard will be a great blessing to your spiritual life and you draw you close to the Lord throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we not only want people to grow in their faith, but we also want to share the gospel for those who have maybe never received Christ as their personal Savior, which is the most important decision that a person will ever make. The scriptures are very clear that all of us have sinned, and of course, even one sin will keep us out of the presence of a holy God who is perfect and pure. And so we need a Savior. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scriptures also say, but the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus was God. He became man. He went to the cross, and there he bore our sins in his body and took the wrath and the anger of God that God has for us and for our sinfulness and placed it on the Lord Jesus. And he paid a debt that we could not pay. And we are so thankful that God in his great love chose his only begotten Son to go to the cross and bear our sins and take our place on that cross. And because he did that, he said it's finished. And as we have a relationship with Christ, as we act in faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, we can become a child of God. And God will look over us as a father. He'll forgive us our sins. We'll have the indwelling Holy Spirit to change our life and to become the person that God wants us to be. And so we just pray that you will make that decision today. Remember to order your copy of Pandemic. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit us at missiongo.org, which is our website, missiongo.org. Please remember to pray for us before the throne of grace, and please don't forget to order your copy of Pandemic. It will be a great blessing to you. May the Lord bless you throughout this next week.